This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is retired U.S. Air Force General Tom McInerney, who also served at one time as Assistant Vice Chief of Staff for the United States Air Force. He's now a Fox News military analyst. We want to get his analysis today on the fierce debate happening on the floor of the United States Senate over the future of the current defense reauthorization bill. But there are some thorny issues being attached to this money for the U.S. military, including a proposed repeal of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, lifting the ban on abortions in military facilities, and even the DREAM Act, which would provide scholarship assistance for illegal immigrants. And General, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
Well, first of all, what do you make of the fact that this bill has become a vehicle for some of these other issues, some of which are tangentially related to the military, but not usually involved in a bill like this?
Well, I think it's the wrong thing to do. It's purely political, and frankly, the chairman of the committee ought to be Carl Levin, should be embarrassed that he's doing this kind of thing. We normally never politicize the authorization bill.
In terms of the debate happening today on the floor about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, there seems to be a division in terms of the top brass. You've got the chairman of the Joint Chiefs as well as the defense secretary, who say they're fine with it as long as this review process plays out. But then you have the heads of the different branches of the military all against lifting the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. You've obviously served at the highest echelons of the U.S. Air Force. What do you make of this debate, and how should the Congress come down on it?
Well, first of all, I think the Secretary of Defense and the Chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff ought to be ashamed of themselves for acceding to this political maneuver. They should have stood firm. They laid out a policy of how they wanted to review and see how the policy should be changed. And now, just because the Congress, for political reasons and an election coming up, wants to change the procedure, they have acquiesced. They should be ashamed of themselves. At least the service chiefs are standing up for what they think is right.
Sir, you, of course, served in the military prior to the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy taking effect, and I believe for a number of years after it took effect in the early years of the Clinton administration. What's your evaluation on how effective Don't Ask, Don't Tell has been?
I think Don't Ask, Don't Tell has been very effective. It was a compromise from the beginning. I was the assistant vice chief, the number three man in the Air Force, when this particular procedure and this congressional act was taken and the laws passed. Senator Sam Nunn was the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee. And so I was intimately involved with it. I think it was the right decision. It has stood the test of time. And now, for political reasons, because unfortunately certain liberal Democrats see that they're going to be out of office here very soon, have decided to completely change the rules of the game, and I think that's not appropriate to mess with the United States military, particularly as strained as they have been, Greg, in combat. Two wars here simultaneously, large number of deployments. We're going on 10 years in this. Don't change the rules now. It's very simple.
General, obviously this calls for a bit of speculation, but of course on the one side of this debate, you have those in favor of repealing the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, saying for the most part, the current members of the U.S. military won't care if this is repealed. Others say this could badly affect morale and unit cohesion. Given all the time you've spent leading men in uniform, how do you expect them to react if in fact this were to be repealed?
Well, I think they do care, and I've talked to some of the younger ones, the more senior ones, clearly, I think it is, and even the younger ones are not pleased with all the political machinations that are going around now, and there's a lot of touchy-feely stuff, and they're not happy with it. So I think, as I said earlier, with our troops being in combat for the last 10 years, that this would be the wrong thing to do right now, and it's being done just for political purposes. So it's not good for the military. It's not good for the nation.
Do you believe it would impact recruitment and retention?
I do.
There's a lot of debating and voting yet to happen here, potentially on Capitol Hill. But in the end, do you expect this to happen?
No, I think the latest reports I've seen is that they're going to have a hard time getting 60 votes. And so I do not think they're going to be able to get this through.
We're talking with retired U.S. Air Force General Tom McInerney. And General, you've mentioned a couple times now, obviously, that America remains at war in both Iraq and Afghanistan. We're coming up on the 9-year anniversary of the onset of Operation Enduring Freedom in Afghanistan. And obviously the troubling news of the day is that a helicopter crash has claimed the lives of 9 more American service members. But as the policy continues here, as the troop buildup continues, do you get the sense that we're on a smarter path in Afghanistan, a path to victory?
I'm worried on the path in Afghanistan. I don't see the counterinsurgency strategy being successful. Winning hearts and minds isn't going to win over there. It's defeating the Taliban. Hearts and minds will then follow. That's a simplistic way to state it, Greg, so our listeners can understand it. But building schools, building wells, building power plants, et cetera, it may win hearts, you think, but the fact is when the Taliban are controlling the area and you haven't defeated them, they, at the point of a gun, they win hearts and minds. So we ought to keep that in priority. That ought to be our first mission, is to destroy and defeat the Taliban. Then hearts and minds will follow.
General, in terms of the attention paid to the war, it certainly comes up from time to time. We had the policy review last year that the president announced in December. Obviously, we had the flare-up with General McChrystal earlier this year. But in general, do you believe that the president and his administration should be talking about this more? And if so, what should they be saying?
Well, I think they ought to talk about it more. And I think they ought to have more reviews of what's going on and what's successful. And they ought to listen to the troops over there and understand that in a society like Afghanistan that is fundamentally somewhere in the 15th or 16th century, that has never had control from Kabul, from the center, whereas Baghdad did in Iraq, that we have to use different techniques. And the fundamental issue is let the people have security in their villages. Once they have security, then they can get on with their commerce, with the different things. We are not going to make a Jeffersonian democracy out of the place, and we clearly do not have the wherewithal to make it an industrial power that is primarily an agrarian society. Let's focus on, again, defeating the Taliban, and we can't do that until we get the Pakistanis on our side. The Taliban were created by Pakistan. Pakistan is still supporting the Taliban. They're talking out of both sides of their mouth, Greg. And we've got to have a come-to-Jesus meeting with them and make sure they understand we will not accept the support that they are giving the Pakistani Taliban that are supporting the Afghan Taliban.
Very quickly, just about 20 seconds left, sir. I know one of the great frustrations you and many others have had are the restrictive rules of engagement in Afghanistan. Is anything changing so far on that front?
I'm not real optimistic on how that's going to turn out. All I can say is we've got to keep our fingers crossed on it, Greg, and watch it very closely. I've seen some signs that are making me very disappointed, and so I'm becoming more pessimistic on that side of the issue.
General, unfortunately, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you, sir, as always, for your time.
Great. Thanks, Greg.
Retired U.S. Air Force General Tom McInerney. At one time, he served as Assistant Vice Chief of Staff for the United States Air Force. He's a Fox News military analyst. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.